Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 4:11 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 9th, and of course today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. I apologize for the late recording, or sorry, the early recording, but I've got some family commitments this evening, and I just won't be around to do it after the US close. However, this being Friday, we will focus on longer-term themes, and there are certainly plenty of them to cover. But let's first have a review of the week. And what we've seen this week has been a lot of questions being raised about markets or stock markets rallying towards the upper side of their sort of 3 month ranges, and the big question being asked as to will they or won't they break on the upside. And the question has been answered in the latter half of this week, basically not yet. And we see that that Wall Street is leading markets generally. It was quite quiet yesterday, and it was a very sanguine day right across Asia this morning. But with Wall Street coming down a bit in early trading right now, we see that Europe is following through, all down about just over 1%, some of them just over 2%. So pulling back from the upper sides of these ranges. And we continue to see this evidence of base formation development. And of course, this is a natural area where anyone who wanted to be short of the market would be thinking about increasing short positions. And there is still a great war going on between supply and demand, and the arguments whether this market is actually bottoming out or whether this is a distribution before another big fall. There are, of course, other things to look at, and the very fact that we now have government bond prices pulling back very sharply this week. They were at 141 at the beginning of the week, or late last week, and they're now down to 133, almost 134, having been as low as 131 during the week on that 30-year. That's a very big pullback, very sharp. It's come down just as quick as it went up. There's an extremely good chance that high up there around 141 is at least of medium-term significance, and there's plenty of room for these government bonds to pull back even further. It's also important that we have 3 month yields rallying above that zero level. Just think of the amount of demand that needs to be poured into a market to maintain yields at zero, and there has been an absolute flood of cash heading into short-term treasuries, enough in fact to push them below zero briefly in December. So people paying the treasury to take their money. And really, when this is a bonanza for the US Treasury, because they get to issue such an incredible amount of debt, and let's face it, there is no shortage of debt out there, and they are getting to do it at such remarkably low yields, close to 2%, certainly below 3% on the long dated side of the curve, and close to 0% on the short end of the curve. So really quite an incredible move, but one that does appear to be coming to an end. That window is certainly closing. But also important, because we look at municipals or we look at corporate bonds, and those spreads have also appeared to peak, even for municipalities such as California or New York, which do look to be in a lot of trouble, but they're not going to be allowed to fail. They're certainly not going to default on their bonds, and that means that there is a tradable opportunity available in the municipal market right now, and of course returns there are tax-free for US citizens. So certainly something to bear in mind, or a market to watch, particularly since some of them have rallied quite well from their lows and have come back to test those lows in the last couple of weeks. This has also been a week in which we've seen gold rally quite well in the beginning of the week, and now is looking a little softer in here. But this is in the region of that progression of lower highs that's been going on since May. It's in the region of the 200-day moving average, and $900 now is really taking on a lot of significance for gold, because if it can sustain a move into that area or above that area, then it's sustaining the move above the moving average. It's broken the progression of lower highs. We're not quite there yet. And gold has put in an awful lot of work over the last 2 or 3 months on in and around this $800 level. So the potential downside is probably not as much as the potential upside. And I do believe that the risks are to the upside, but gold is going to remain volatile. And when we look at gold relative to some of these other precious metals, it is those other metals, such as platinum, which has been remarkably steady around $1,000. It rallied very, very quickly up to that $1,000 level since Boxing Day, the December 26th, and has steadied very well around this $1,000 level, and does look like this market has further to go on the upside. And particularly when you look at it relative to gold, it is down around parity and hasn't been in that area since 1993-94, and wouldn't expect it to stay down around that level for a prolonged period of time. So certainly the risks are to the upside in the precious metal sector, and it does look like metals like platinum and potentially to a lesser extent silver are most likely to lead on the upside there. This has also been a week in which we've seen the agriculturals strong at the beginning of the week, but pulling back a little bit in the middle of the week, although soybeans up 40 in here today, and that's quite impressive action. The industrial metals also had a very good week. You have nickel up towards up around the 12,000 level. You've had a good move in copper as well. And these industrial metals continue to look like they are in base formation development mode, and their potential upside certainly outweighs the potential downside, at least on the current chart action. This has also been a week in which we saw the dollar rally quite strongly up towards that 84 level, which is the lower side of that type 2 top formation that was completed at the beginning of December. It's a natural area of potential resistance, and the dollar pulled back quite sharply from that area, and the potential for this market to range below that top formation in what we would term at the chart seminar right-hand extension, then possibly moving further down in the coming weeks and months, still remains very much intact. That's basically what we've had this week, so it's been really a very active week. And let's try and fit that together with what's been going on in the wider market and how we're going to make money this year. Well, there does appear to be lots of opportunity, and what we continue to see is that a number of markets have come back in terms of their valuations very sharply. We see a large number of markets trading at below their book value. That number of markets is smaller now than it would have been a month ago, but still a large number of markets trading at or around their book value. We see PEs in single digits, and yields have risen quite considerably. Now, the US still remains a comparatively expensive market relative to all these other markets around the world, even though it has halved in the last 6 months or so. But it has also found support in the region of those October and November lows, and it would really need to sustain a move below those levels to give credence to the remarkably bearish forecasts that we continue to see emanating from certain commentators. And I have seen predictions that markets could halve from where they are today. And there's no evidence that that is about to occur right now. A lot of these stock markets continue to rally in the region, or sorry, to range in the regions of their October and November lows, and that means that we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the fact that these markets are in a bottoming process that is open-ended, because it can still take time. However, as long as Wall Street is relatively steady, then it does give the opportunity to other markets, which have sold off even more, have become more overextended on the downside, and potentially show even better value, to rally quite considerably. But stock markets still remain very, very nervous environments, and there are still people looking for a catalyst. And we can expect President-elect Obama to start to spend money quite considerably on infrastructure and attempt to get some of the millions of people who've lost their jobs back to work. And of course, that's not going. The USA isn't the only country that is talking about infrastructure projects. Just about every other country in the world is doing the same thing. We continue to see a concerted effort across countries, across administrations, and across central banks that everyone is going to do their best to turn the global economy around, to solve the credit crisis. There are massive problems out there, and those problems have been well identified. What we need to start to do is to concentrate on what the solutions are going to be, because if the stimulus package that we can expect in the next couple of months is received well by markets, there is an outstanding amount of cash sitting on the sidelines waiting to be reinvested. The very fact that we're seeing those 3 months yields rising from that 0% rate is an indication that money is starting to flow back towards markets. And the fact that we see commodities performing on a relative basis in the last few weeks, and stock markets having rallied towards the upper side of their 3 month ranges, gives us an indication as to where that money is moving. So we can expect lots of money to get spent in pretty much every economy in the world in an attempt to get people back to work. And that is going to favor infrastructure development. And that means that there will be more demand for commodities than has been forecast for a recessionary type environment. So the surprises could be on the upside in that regard. And we continue to see that a number of commodity shares remain within the regions of their lows. And given the size of the falls that they've had and the massive accelerations, that activity we saw in October was climactic. And that means that there's unlikely to be another climax. And we need to now start to look at what the potential recovery time frame is, more than the potential downside. There are a lot of people who would prefer to be buying at the October lows, and they may well still get a chance. Markets could potentially even move lower than that. But I still believe that it is unlikely that they will move significantly below the October and November lows, and that the bottoming out process is underway. What we will be able to look back and say that we've seen the lows for this market when moving averages start to turn upwards and markets sustain moves above their moving averages. But of course, that is going to occur probably well above where any low has occurred, and we're not going to get any points for prediction by calling the low of the market at that point. We need to start looking for those potential bottoming signs now. So we can look at stock markets, but we also need to look at things like the VIX index, which has contracted quite remarkably and has pulled back below 2%, telling us that the spread between what banks lend to each other, or the rate at which banks lend to each other, and the rate at which they can borrow, or the rate at which the the Treasury can borrow at has narrowed quite considerably. So the panic in the banking sector has contracted, or the panic more or less has disappeared, and there is still a lot of reticence out there. So we're not going, because of course governments have nationalized to a greater or lesser extent the banking operations across a whole range of countries, there isn't that panic that or the runs on banks that we saw back in September and October. But there still is the problem that banks are not lending to the people who need credit most, which are the small and medium-term enterprises and consumers. And that is going to have to change. There will have to be some type of intervention to either guarantee loans or to force banks to start lending money out in an effort to get the credit markets functioning correctly once more. And we're not there quite yet. That will be something that is well worth watching. But we also see that the VIX index has contracted quite significantly now. It still remains at historically high levels. But the trajectory of volatility is moving downwards, and that is also very positive for people looking for some kind of stability before they invest. The fact that government bond yields have come down very considerably is a boon for stock market investors. And of course, energy prices have come down remarkably over the last 6 months, and certainly inflation is not going to be a problem for the foreseeable future. There is currently a debate raging as to whether inflation or deflation is going to be the macro theme in a year or two's time. And that is still very much an open question. We continue to see that the velocity of money is declining and is being met by massive printing and expansion in the monetary base in order to keep the money flow at a reasonable figure. The temptation will be to leave that excess cash in the system too long, and that will create inflation beyond the shadow of a doubt. If we see central banks being responsible and taking that excess cash out of the system quickly after it is no longer needed, then the threat of inflation will be much reduced. However, because there will be a massive political inhibition to reducing the money supply when velocity begins to pick up, there is a strong likelihood that inflation is going to rear its ugly head once more. So, looking at markets such as the TIPS markets, where you've had prices coming back remarkably quickly, then there is good relative value if you believe on these long-dated securities that you're going to have inflation at any point in the future. Because even if we have a deflationary type environment over the next year, or as maybe even the next 6 months, then if inflation starts to be factored back in 6 months from now, these securities can rally quite significantly. Looking at the oil complex, it does appear that the bottoming out process for oil has begun. We've seen that oil has sustained a rally in excess of $10, and it hasn't done that for a considerable period of time. The low for oil is down around $32. It rallied quite significantly and tested the $50 level earlier this week and has since pulled back to currently around $40. There is a strong potential that we're going to see a ranging consolidation going forward for a couple of months where oil enters a support building phase. The longer oil stays around current levels or goes sideways, the better that will be for inflationary figures, the better that will be for stock markets and economies generally, because it will give them room to improve. And that would be a positive generally. But you look at a lot of these oil investments. If oil is bottoming out around $40 and begins a recovery from this area, then a lot of oil-related investments have sold off remarkably aggressively in line with the oil price. Some of those Canadian income trusts are offering remarkable yields, which are bound to come down when $40 oil gets priced into those yields, but still offer value if this is a bottoming out phase and are probably worth keeping an eye on, particularly relative to how they perform to the oil price and to their sector generally. So, certainly room to watch there. But commodities generally will find support with the massive infrastructure development that we can anticipate coming from the developed world and, of course, from the developing world. We still have massive young populations in areas such as China or India and right across the Middle East and in large parts of Asia, such as Malaysia and Indonesia, where we have billions of young people growing up in need of education, in need of housing, in need of work. And that infrastructure needs to be put in place today to cater for those large numbers of people in the next decade and more. So infrastructure is going to remain a secular theme, and it will wax and wane in line with global GDP growth. It has certainly taken a big hit relative to how it's performed over the last 5 years, but it is not a theme that is going to disappear. And as global economies recover and infrastructure development becomes a central theme of government policy around the world, we can expect this investment theme to garner more attention. And that does appear to be beginning, given the activity we're seeing in the oil market and in those industrial metals. So, certainly ones to watch. But over the last 6 months, we've seen a remarkable flow of cash into the government bond markets, and we've seen yields come down to levels not seen in not just one generation, but a number of generations. So it's probably not the best time to become increasingly bullish of the government bond market. And there is significant room for government bonds to pull back. They're certainly encountering a lot of competition now when yields on the corporate side, the municipal side, equities are all competing and really offering significantly higher yields than are currently available in government bonds. And if the only reason to be in government bonds is the momentum trade, and they have certainly lost momentum, then one has to start thinking about where one wants to put their money, and there is lots of competition out there. If you want to be in fixed income, there are still bargains to be had on a relative value basis. Certainly, corporate bonds have rallied well, particularly in the US, and when you look at that iBoxx iShare, the LQD, we see that prices have rallied and offset the entire decline. So certainly the upside is going to become more difficult for that particular ETF. But there still does remain value available within the sector, and certainly the municipal bond sector also shows relative value and significant yields in that asset class, and certainly yields right across the equity universe have increased. Of course, equity yields are not nearly as secure as in the corporate or municipal markets once they've been purchased, but if we do enter any kind of recovery scenario, their potential upside will far outweigh the potential for their dividends to be cut. So we have major opportunities in yield bear bearing assets, which will provide decent returns over the coming years. There is the potential for stock markets to be in bottoming out phases, and there are a number of contributory factors which help to support that hypothesis. The big realization, I think, now is that we're in a very volatile phase for currency appreciation. And I think investors will be looking a lot more at how currencies are performing before they start thinking about making foreign investments over the coming year. Because we've seen the pound falling so remarkably, we've seen the euro appreciating against the pound so incredibly quickly. The yen has turned from being one of the strong or the weakest currencies to being one of the strongest. We've seen Asian currencies, which have been so remarkably strong over the last 6 and 7 years, having a very big hit. And that has all been traumatic for investors. And I believe that one of the big trends, and it is certainly something that is highlighted in that Deutsche Bank report that I posted today, is that we are going to see a lot more focus on the currency markets because not only are they capable of producing massive returns, but they are also liquid. So that is something to bear in mind for the coming year, I think. And with that, I will leave you for the weekend, but thank you very much for your time.